This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In Boston, there's one diner where, no matter who you are, you can get a burger 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're a late-night club kid...
I've been wanting to work here for a while. I used to be that kid that would come here after the club and you were wasted and you wanted to get some food and get your grub on.
Or a computational neuroscientist.
I like to do a lot of work at night after 11 o'clock, and there's just nothing else nearby where I could possibly go outside of my house and do work. And so this is a great place to come 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and just sit and do a couple hours of work.
Or a cabbie.
Boston doesn't have a lot of places to go after midnight. When you get off work at 4 in the morning, this is it. So I could not have survived driving 20 years on a night shift without this place.
This place is the South Street Diner, the landmark restaurant in Boston's Leather District that's been serving all comers for more than 60 years. It's the subject of a new documentary called 24 Hours at the South Street Diner that's being screened this weekend as part of the Boston Independent Film Festival. Filmmakers Melissa and Tom Dowler join us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're also joined by the owner of the South Street Diner, Saul Seidel. Saul, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
It's really great to have you all. It's a beautiful little film, really sort of almost a love letter to this landmark in Boston. But Tom and Melissa, let me start with you. What inspired you to make this film?
Well, I actually grew up in Boston watching the TV show Cheers, and it was only many years later when I became a customer of the South Street Diner that I realized this was the real Cheers of Boston, this place where everyone knows your name, that has a million stories, so many characters, and we really felt that we wanted to capture some of those stories for posterity.
And you happen to live nearby now, is that true?
We do. We live right on South Street, a couple of blocks from the diner.
So it's your neighborhood joint.
It is, and we spend a lot of time there, far too much time probably. But
well, here, there's a clip that I want to play from the film that really talks about how important South Street Diner is to the city of Boston. And it's a wonderful sort of little summary, I think. And it's when you encountered a former pro basketball player, Paul Grant. So let's listen.
The great cities have a great kind of historic diner, and for Boston, this is it. And so I think it's really important for the kind of the history of the city. You've got to have a good greasy spoon 24-hour diner that's got some character to it.
That's from the film 24 Hours at the South Street Diner. Saul, I mean, is that what initially attracted you to it?
Well, I was in the restaurant business from 9 years old. I started as a dishwasher at nine and in a pizza place, and I always wanted to have that dream of pride of ownership. And I searched and searched and searched, and that was the right place at the right time. I didn't expect it to be a diner the way it is today. I expected it to be almost an Italian coffee shop. But as we grew in the first 4 months of business, back in March 4th in 1997.
When you bought it.
When I bought it, people wanted food. And I made the decision to move forward into the original diner format.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, that original format, because the diner's been around since 1944. Do I have that date right?
1943, actually. And in fact, through the process of doing the movie and our research, we actually discovered some ads in the Boston Globe archives from 1943 where the original owners were looking to hire waitresses. So it's been around for a long time.
Well, there's another story here that's sort of embedded in the tale of the South Street Diner. It's told really well in the film, I think. And that's the story of the neighborhood itself in the Leather District. So let's hear another clip. And this is a scene where you spoke with Susan Chusid Still. She's one of the former owners of the South Street Diner, describing what the Leather District was, you know, for most of its time through the 1980s.
It was an interesting area. There were a lot of lofts that were lived in by artists. There was a lot of empty space. This used to be a manufacturing neighborhood that had long since gone south. It was a seedy. It was just the fringe of a seedy neighborhood.
You can really hear her trying to reach for the right words because it's a beloved neighborhood as well. Saul, you tell a great story in the film. I mean, it was the combat zone, right? So you tell a great story in the film about a payphone.
Yeah, originally there was a payphone in the diner. And The diner was the track running from South Station to New England Medical Center for female adult entertainment. And South Street was meal-on-meal adult entertainment. So we were at the crossroads, and they would come in and use our payphone because there were no cell phones at that time in 1997, and they would use it as their office. And I went through numerous different times of you have to wear regular clothes. You can't just wear lingerie and a trench coat. You can't count your money on the table. And then finally, the end result is I realized that most of this was caused by the payphone, and I removed the payphone, and that solved most of the problems.
I love that story so much. It's like, you know, they say if you want to stop a cholera epidemic in water, you take the handle off the water pump so that people don't drink the town or village water. You kind of did the same thing by removing the payphone. Tom and Melissa, the stories just sort of flow in the film. And how did you decide, you know, which ones you were going to keep that sort of best told us what South Street Diner was all about?
It was a real challenge for us, actually, because one of the things we haven't mentioned yet is that we actually filmed for 24 hours straight in the diner one very hot day in July, and we met such a wide variety of people. We heard so many stories, and so the actual editing process was not easy. And Tom, I don't know if you want to talk about how we chose some of the best.
I think throughout the editing process, the one theme that kept coming out was that the diner was somewhere where you could meet anyone. There was such diversity, such a wide range of people. Depending on what time of day you went in, which is another reason why we wanted to shoot for 24 hours, you could meet people from all different backgrounds. And so we really tried to make that the focus of the film, that here's a place where anyone is welcome and anyone can call it home.
It was just such a range of people. And what really came out to us is that Boston can sometimes not appear as the most diverse city. And in the South Street Diner, you see every race, every ethnicity, every religion, every type of person sitting side by side at the counter. And that really stood out to us.
But you know, in the film, it's really evident, too, that it's been 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
There's a clip that I want to play, which just I found incredibly moving. And it's where you describe sort of the moment where the diner hit financial bottom.
I made $220 a week from my personal pocket for 9 years. And at the end of that, I found out that I was $500,000 in debt. And even though I personally didn't do it, I had managers and bookkeepers and everybody else that was supposed to pay the bills. I was stuck. I was depressed. I was stuck. And I had no choice, because I couldn't sell it, I couldn't close it down, I couldn't walk away.
$200 in your pocket, and you had to declare bankruptcy, right?
Well, I didn't have to declare bankruptcy, but I had to cut deals with everybody, from MDOR to IRS. Bankruptcy would not have solved the problem.
So the financial obligation would follow you, but you could have actually left
or
the rest.
Or jailed.
Okay, or jail, right, because you were in debt. But you chose to stay at the diner, though.
Well, I felt that had the best opportunity for the growth.
Did you look around the diner at that moment when you realized this is bad, the financial situation is bad, but thought, you know, this place is also worth saving?
It wasn't not just the diner. It was my dream of the pride of the ownership.
When did you finally dig yourself out of that financial hole?
April 1st of 2011.
Just last year.
Yes.
Another sense of sort of the reality of what the South Street Diner is in the film to me came through with the sense that the neighborhood itself is changing a lot. Saul just raised his eyebrows and practically rolled his eyes. No kidding, right?
The neighborhood has changed dramatically. I lived in the neighborhood at one point when I started in 97. The neighborhood was an artist community. It was designed as an artist work and live in community. The Big Dig had encrusted and surrounded and gone through the neighborhood with everything from noise to dust to trucks. It's a small neighborhood of 9 blocks, but we had 50 residents, and now we have almost 1,000 residents.
So living there.
And that's in a 10-year period, so it's grown dramatically.
it's the only place in the city where people can come at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and be able to get a bite to eat, whether mm-hmm. they've been out on the town or whether they've been working a shift at one of the hospitals or police officers, security guards.
Well, the fact that it's a growing residential neighborhood now, and also that it's the only place, as you're saying, at 2 or 3 in the morning you can come and get a bite to eat, that did produce some friction. I mean, you talk about it in the film, that there was a resident put forth a petition to say, all right, this is a great place, but shut it down at midnight. Like, let us have some time overnight with quiet. It's a great story. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, in Boston remember it, but I don't want to give away too much of it. Obviously, the diner's still open 24 hours a day. But Saul, let me ask you, like, that moment while all this was happening, and you first got a sense that maybe some residents weren't thrilled that it was 24 hours a day, but that it was open 24 hours a day, I should say. What happened afterward that sort of, I guess, gave you a sense as to what the diner really meant to people?
Well, the big thing was it was 2 residents out of that 1,000. That there was a potential of losing my license and my livelihood for two individuals. And how many people that the diner affected, that they came to a hearing and they said things about me and the diner, about being a fair person and honest and a place that they come to for safety and for memories, that I didn't think I was going to hear until my funeral.
Now, these are people who came in support of the South Street Diner.
Yes.
At a hearing, at a
yes.
public hearing.
150 people filled a room that held about 30 people.
In order to keep it open 24 hours a day. Well, there is another little clip from the film that I want to play that describes this moment. And Chris the cabbie, a diner regular, sort of tells us what happened at that public hearing.
The guy who filed the original complaint didn't show up. He wasn't even at the hearing. One of the Boston City Councilors came in and read a proclamation from Boston City Council saying what an institution of the city this diner was. Like, you know, you got to be kidding me, man. There's no place else like it.
That's a scene from 24 Hours at the South Street Diner. Obviously, it's still open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Well, Saul, let me ask you, as the neighborhood continues to grow residentially, what do you see as the future for the diner?
Well, our biggest growth for the diner is we've now renovated the interior, maintaining the same soul of it, but bringing it up to date with computerization. We still have our breakfast menu 24 hours a day, but we're also serving crab cakes and mussels and American bistro food, actually, for a place that I can take pride in and I can have dinner with my friends.
Melissa and Tom, you, as you told us earlier, live in the neighborhood. I mean, so now as residents, not just filmmakers, you know, after your 24 continuous hours there, like what did you come away with in terms of a new sense of what the diner means for you?
We really feel that the diner is that place in Boston where anyone can go at any time of the day and just really feel accepted, really feel welcome, and really feel that you can get a very good, honest meal without spending a fortune. It's become that for us, and now when we walk in, we're greeted as friends. We see the other neighborhood regulars. We say hi to Saul. The wait staff just go out of their way to take such good care of us. And so it really has become that home away from home, that place where everybody knows your name and they always welcome you.
Tom?
Yeah, I think for us personally, it's become a real, like Melissa says, a second home. It's great to know it's always there any time of day or night. We work some late nights doing our kind of day job, and there's nothing more pleasing than getting home at midnight and having the option just to walk down the street, grab a beer, grab a burger.
$5 plate of eggs at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Can't be beat.
Filmmakers Melissa and Tom Dowler, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And Saul Seidel, owner of the South Street Diner, it's been a great pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
24 Hours at the South Street Diner will be screened this weekend as part of the Boston Independent Film Festival. There is more information at our website, radioboston.org.
Tomorrow on our program, more from the Boston Independent Film Festival. New Hampshire Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop, will be with us. He's the subject of the new film, Love Free or Die.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.